Well, this morning, as we gather here, and I love what Mark prayed this morning. He prayed that, you know, that we've gathered here on purpose. You know, I think a lot of times it becomes a habit. A lot of things that we do become a habit. But I hope that what we do this morning, it never becomes that, and it always is something that is on purpose, that we do, that we plan towards, that we anticipate, and that we make something of these moments because they're on purpose. And not only are they on purpose, but they are with a purpose. And this morning, as we have honored and remembered and applauded those who have served this country, there might be some, probably not here because that's just not us, but there might be some who would say, why would you spend so much time honoring, you know, men and women? I thought today was all about God. Well, it is all about God. And in that, and because it is all about God, we honor those who get it. Who get that there is something beyond themselves, the people that understand that they are a part of something greater than themselves. So that not only are they willing to volunteer their time and their efforts and their energy and their sweat and their tears, but in some honorable and glorious occasions, they are called on to sacrifice their very lives. And that is honorable. That is godly, and that is honorable. Paul even says, as he sends some of the early first century Christians back to one of the churches that he had established and that they had helped establish, he sends these two individuals specifically back to help. And he says, and when they get there, you honor people like this. And he references their sacrifice and the debt that they are owed because of what they have chosen on purpose to do for others. So this Memorial Day, as we have spent some time talking about and honoring those who have been called and who have served and answered that call and who have given their lives and even applauded those who are able to be here that have afforded us the freedoms that we have, this Memorial Day is a day of remembrance. It's a day of remembering what has happened, what has gone before, and the very real sacrifices that it takes for us to have and to enjoy what we in fact have and what we do in fact enjoy. Whether that's freedom, whether that's economic freedom, civic freedom, or spiritual freedom, whatever that looks like, it is a godly thing to honor those who step outside of themselves and provide others in something bigger than themselves. If you've got your Bibles, turn with me to 1 Chronicles chapter 16. We're going to read a Psalm of David this morning that talks about remembering. It talks about the importance of remembering. Because there's so much that we can get caught up with and there's so many distractions that can happen and the very freedoms that we enjoy can be a distraction away from remembering what it is that has been done for us. David says this of God. He says, give thanks to the Lord. Call on His name and make known among the nation what He has done. He says, sing to Him, sing praise to Him. Tell of all His wonderful acts. Glory in His name. Let the hearts of those who seek the Lord rejoice. Look to the Lord and His strength. Seek His face always. Remember the wonders He has done, His miracles and the judgments He pronounced. You see, as Christians, there is a point to remembering. You see, David understood, and he's saying, give thanks to the Lord, make known among the nations. Do you ever wonder why in the world God even had a chosen people? Do you ever wonder why in the world that God to this day maintains and continues to choose a people for this very reason, so that there is someone who knows and understands and can give thanks to the true and the living God? There are other options out there that are not true, that are not living, that are not God. And God says, there will be a people. There will be a people who know me, they know my name, and they have a purpose, and it is to remember and proclaim to those who do not know yet. You see, as Americans, we have that exact same duty. That exact same calling on a civic level that we can live a life that is free. We can live a life that is defined by liberty, and we can live that life to the fullest and let other people in other countries, in other oppressed societies, know what liberty really looks like to those who have never heard of it or never experienced it. You see, as Christians, we take Christ to all living creatures, to all places of the world. And as Americans, we take liberty to those same places. And it's sacrifices that make that happen. It's prices paid. It is the price paid for you and I civically. It's the price paid for you and I spiritually. And it comes with a duty attached to it. And remembering the past is helpful in determining the future. Days like today and tomorrow, when we're memorializing, when we're remembering all of those men and women who have gone before us, who have laid down their lives so that this country can be what it is. Remembering those things in the past will be very helpful in determining how we live our lives in the future. It's not for nothing that we do these things. It's not just so that we can have a day off from work. It's not just so that we can look back fondly and remember those that have gone before us. It's so that we can understand what it took to get us where we are so that we can take it even further in the future. At this point, if you've got your order of worship and you've filled in, remembering the past is helpful in determining the future, that's about as far as you're going to get in the fill in the blanks, because I've gone a different direction since that was printed. I apologize, but just write that down, and then maybe you can take some notes. But it's not going to look like what it looks like on the back. But one of the things I want us to do is we remember the past. It's important for us, not only as citizens of this country, but as citizens of the kingdom of heaven, to remember the price that has been paid. Remember the sacrifice that has been made on our behalf. And not only just intellectually remember and make a mental note of it, but what does it look like? What does it look like for us to remember the price paid? I came across a quote from Dwight D. Eisenhower about our civic liberty. Freedom has its life in the hearts and in the actions and the spirit of men, and so it must be daily earned and refreshed. Else, like a flower cut from its life-giving roots, it will wither and die. I love this quote because it's got something in there that I believe speaks not only to our duty as citizens of this country, but it speaks of our privilege as citizens of the kingdom of heaven, and that is, it not only has its life in our hearts, and we love the freedom and the liberty that we have, but it has its life in our actions. You see, Scripture over and over talks about, do you love the life that God has afforded you? Do you love God? Do you love what He's done? Do you love the sacrifice made and all the freedoms that are afforded you? Then not only love it, but live like you love it. Express the relationship that you have with God. You see, the freedoms that we have, if we do not employ them in our life, if we don't practice them, not only protect them with all of the military technology that we have, but protect them with our actions. Protect our freedoms by exercising them. Do we want to honor those who have fallen for the freedom of this country? You know how we do that? By exercising the very freedoms that they gave their lives so willingly for. Exercise our freedom of religion. And I would like to say to a group of Christians that it's time that we proclaim that we have freedom of religion. Not so much freedom from it. You see, if the church simply practices our religion behind closed doors and in behind walls of stone, then we're free to practice, but the rest of the world is not free. The rest of this community is not free to practice. They're free from it, not free to experience it. So as citizens, do we want to honor those that have fallen? Then practice our liberties. Practice our freedoms. We're free to be generous. We're free to give. We're free to worship. We're free to share Jesus and the life, the eternal life-giving gift of grace that God has given us. Are we practicing that freedom? If we want to honor them, remember the price paid. Not only for our civic freedoms, but our spiritual liberty as well. The most important freedom that we have. The most important liberty that is ever conceived in Ephesians chapter 4, verses 1 through 6. Paul tells the Ephesian church there, he says, look, if you love your freedom in Christ, if you love the life that God has given you, then let me tell you what you need to do. You need to live a life worthy of the calling. You see, we are all called by God, called by Jesus Christ into His glorious, this glorious family, this life of light. And Paul would say it's not only good enough for you to experience that. It's not only good enough for you to thank God for that, which often and early in Paul's writings, he says, give thanks in all circumstances. Thank God for this. Thank God for that. But more importantly than that, he says, live a life. Exercise a life and choices and decisions and live a life worthy of being called into this. Live a life worthy of the calling. He goes on to say in Philippians 1 and 27, just a couple of pages over. He says, I as a prisoner. Now I love the comparison there between the liberty in Christ, the freedom that we have in Christ, and Paul calling himself a prisoner of Christ, because his freedom in Christ drove him to jail. Not some metaphorical, I'm chained by this or that. No, he was literally in jail. Wouldn't you love to be that free? That free in Christ that it would put you in a real jail for Him. You see, Paul was so free to proclaim Jesus in a society that I'm telling you was anti-Jesus. He was so free to live a life worthy of the calling. He was so free to live a life worthy of the gospel that he was so free to do that regardless of the law of the land, he was free. And that freedom put him in jail. And he says, as a prisoner of Christ, I ask you to live a life worthy of the gospel. You know, that gospel, that word means good news. And Paul is urging us to live a life, to make decisions and choices that may be contrary to popular demand, maybe contrary to political correctness, maybe contrary to all of the things that go along with the society that we have today. And he's saying the good news is that Jesus died. He sacrificed everything that he had for us to be close to God, to have that option, to have that relationship. He said, live a life worthy of that good news. Not a life necessarily provided by that good news. Not a life that's experiencing all of the benefits of that good news, but the freedom. The freedom of that good news. You see, there are two freedoms. There are the freedoms, the faults, where a man is free to do what he likes. And then there's the true freedom, where a man is free to do what he ought. See, that's the freedom that Jesus died for us to have. The kind of freedom where we can do not necessarily what's easy, not necessarily what we want to do, but we have the freedom to do what we ought to do. You know what this freedom looks like? Scripturally speaking, it looks like Psalm 146. You see, this is the freedom that Christ died for. This is spiritual freedom. A spiritual freedom that is worthy of being remembered. A spiritual freedom that ought to be remembered so that we are able and willing and motivated and strengthened to live a life worthy of the calling and worthy of the gospel. This freedom is, praise the Lord. Praise the Lord, O my soul. I will praise the Lord all my life. And I will sing praise to my God as long as I live. And you know why? You know why I will praise the Lord? I will live a life of praise. I will praise Him all my life, every bit of it, morning, noon, and night. As Paul would say later in Psalm 100 and 101 or earlier, he said, I will praise Him. I will live blameless in my own home. And you know why? If you read on down, the end of verse 7. The reason I live like this, the reason that I honor the sacrifices that have been made for me, the reason I remember is because He has freed me to do so. He has liberated me to live the life He's called me to live. You see, I'm free to go to jail for Him because I'm no longer afraid of what men might do. I'm free to be disliked in this life because I'm no longer concerned about who it here. Am I still trying to win the approval of men or of God? You see, I know that I have the approval of God. I'm free. We sing songs about what heaven's going to be like. We sing songs about a day where the blind will see. And we sing songs about a day where the deaf will hear and the lame will walk and dance and the hungry will be fed to their capacity. And do you know why they will do those things? Do you know why the blind will look in wonder and see, and the deaf will listen with attentive ears? And you know why the lame will dance and walk? They will do so because they can. Because they can. Because they have been freed to do that very thing. This morning, we have been freed to do much for the cause of Christ. What can you do? The question this Memorial Day, as we honor those who understand sacrifice, and as we always honor and praise God who initiated sacrifice, who wrote the book on sacrifice, who taught us all what sacrifice really looks like. The question this day, as we remember the price paid, what can we do that's worthy of the gospel? How can we honor the sacrifice made for us? How can we do that on a daily basis? My challenge is as we live the rest of this day, tomorrow and this week, going into the future, can we wake up every morning asking God, what do you want me to see? God, what can I hear? And what dance of praise can I perform for you today because I can? Simply because I can. As we honor God this morning, would you stand as we sing?